Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Josh Stackhouse, Dave is still on vacation. John Dunn will be joining us at 7:20 for his weekly appearance right here on Overtime. Some news right out of the gate. Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray is still dealing with some wrist soreness, and backup Colt McCoy is dealing with a tired arm. Cliff Kingsbury said Trace McSorley and Jarrett Garantano will split time in the preseason opener this Friday against the Bengals. Could you play that again? So what if he goes out and balls out? What if it was all just Jeremy Pruitt? What if that is the case? What if it was just Jeremy Pruitt?
A little bit of me prays that he comes out and is just insane.
Oh, well, that would validate our claim.
Dude, that would make me, it's like that type of humor for me that's just, it's just so dark and hurts so much that you have nothing to do but laugh. It's like, God, man, if he comes out there and just like first three throws or 40-yard post darts or dime pieces, man, and all of a sudden he's sprinting faster.
And you know what I'm going to sound like? You know what I'm going to sound like?
Like what?
Like this.
Because I'm slick, not going to lie. I was watching some Browns training camp videos, and a lot of them just like Josh Dobbs out there working. Dude, he was throwing some dime pieces around, too, in the red zone. Just drills. Just throwing some good little balls around, I guess, with the third string. I think second string. No, third string offense.
Well, I mean, and we say it all the time. It's like, that's the most Tennessee thing ever.
Yeah.
This is the most Tennessee thing ever. Alvin Kamara. That was the most Butch Jones Tennessee thing ever. If Jarrett Garantano goes out to Arizona and balls out, that would officially be the most Tennessee thing ever for him to go out there and have absolutely no coaching under his belt like he should have had while he was here to play at the level that he probably should have played at and go there and just ball out. That would be the most Tennessee thing ever.
To be honest, I don't think that's what happens, though, because – what's probably going to happen is he's going to go out there and probably look maybe the exact same. But he did get picked up by an NFL team. So clearly there is some talent there, right? Like you would think.
Enough to get picked up, yes.
Unless, like, he has just nothing else better to do but be, like, a fourth-string quarterback. Because, I mean, like, you know, like, I guess A.J. McCarron could have done that, or, like, Greg McElroy, but they chose, you know, do TV.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, but, oh, God, also, it'd be so great if he just came out and he's throwing duds. It'd be so upsetting. It'd be so funny.
And you know what the Cardinals fans are going to sound like? They're going to sound like this. Your number if you want to hop on with us this evening. Let's go to Tim. What's up, Tim?
Gentlemen, how we doing?
Doing good, man.
Good. Hey, you touched on it. You said a couple of things. I heard Russell talk about it at the end of their show. Like, this is insane to me. But I guess good for him. But I'm going to make a prediction that his performance will, like, inversely correlate with Tennessee's season. So if he goes out and plays like he plays at Tennessee, Tennessee is going to have a great football season. If he goes out and, like you said, kind of balls out, then wouldn't that be funny, like a month of NFL coaching?
Well, yeah. And you know what I'll be doing.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of.
I'll be sitting there crying like Bill Dotrieve in King of the Hill,
just
in disbelief. I had a quarterback once. He was good.
Just tears, man.
It could be a cheat code. Like, just go ahead. If he plays well, just go ahead and hammer the under on win total this year because it ain't going to work, boys. But anyway, that's all I got. It's like a bad dream.
He just comes back and haunts us forever.
Well, good show, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Tim. Let's keep it rolling. Go to my man, Martin. What's up, Martin?
It's Jake.
Martin.
I found out Russell told me when JP's supposed to announce.
Did he?
His commitment. He's going to announce the day after the Ball State game, and he's got down to Tennessee and Iowa.
Oh. Hopefully we can land him. That'd be a huge addition.
I'd love to.
We need him.
What's he rated?
I think he's rated a 4-star on three. He's about 6'10", 6'11".
Yes, and my brother told me, and I told Russell I was the first one to tell him about Dylan Sampson.
You were. You were the first one. I remember when I was on the drive, and you called in, and you said, we need this guy because he's going to be a ball player.
He averaged over 12 yards a carry as a junior.
Martin, that's hard to beat, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and I'm going to tell you, my brother helped me pick him. And you know what my brother said he helped pick?
Uh-huh.
Bo Jackson, Walter Payton, and Dre Rice.
Now, those are three names that everybody knows.
That's a wonderful.
And you know who else he helped pick?
Who's that?
He was the first one to say it. Josh Richardson is playing in the NBA right now.
Hey, he's a...
And Martin signed him.
He's a great ball player, and he's been a great ambassador for Tennessee in the pros. I mean, he's been a journeyman. He's been all over the place, but everywhere he's went, he's contributed at some in some fashion. I mean, he did really well down in Miami. That was probably his best run.
When he had 3 years in Miami, they offered him a 4-year deal for $10 million a year, $40 million, and he turned it down.
That he did. I remember that.
And Kevin Durant still wanting to be traded, and they're saying the Celtics and Toronto and maybe the Heat or the Sun draft him right now.
If he goes to either Boston or Miami, whichever team he goes to, go ahead and pencil them in the NBA Finals for next year.
Well, they then said that Boston was going to be the odds on favor to win it.
Yeah, they are.
Well, they picked up a backup center from San Antonio, like I told you.
Yeah, he's going to be good, and I think I've actually already made the bet. I've already got the Celtics winning the NBA title next year.
I wouldn't go that far.
I got faith in him, Martin.
I hope so, anyway.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, Jake.
Appreciate you, Martin. Let's keep it rolling. Go to Carter. What's up, Carter?
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Good.
Not too bad. So they going to let old JG hawk the ball around down there in Arizona, huh?
And if he does good, guess what I'm going to sound like?
I got an idea. Yeah. I mean, the Gump was a terrible coach. That's well documented. But I don't care how bad of a coach you are. I mean, you can't – there's no way he's going to go out there and just prove us all wrong, right?
I don't think so. I really don't. And, I mean, you had – I don't know if you remember, but before the draft, there was an article that came out that Russell and I were horse laughing over because someone said that JG would be the steal of the draft.
I remember that article. He did get picked up by them. Granted, he is their fourth option, but I don't know. Like, I guess you're good enough. I don't know.
I mean, he feels like a roster filler to me, but neither here nor there. That's insane. I can't wait to watch him throw three picks and spend every day on his back for those games because I've seen this movie. I know how it ends. But I wanted to get y'all's take on training camp and how that's going, especially the scrimmage today.
So, I haven't seen much about the scrimmage today, but I have seen bits and pieces of quotes from Heupel. And, Stack, you've got those pulled up, don't you?
Yeah, I do. He actually seemed pretty – I mean, you know how Heupel is. He says a lot without saying too much. His first comment basically off rip was talking about Jeremy Banks having a really nice interception early, being able to read an out route.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to a spot quick, he said, and said he's looking amazing. Everything that we should have had last year, I guess, in him is what he's putting out now in training camp. He's talked about Lynn J. Dixon is eligible this upcoming season right out the get-go, so that's good. Says he's put his head down and he's learning as fast as he can to catch up with the offense. Really pleased with the effort that he has put into it. Looking forward to his progression here in the back half of training camp. In regards to the left tackle and just that little position battle that's going on, he says really basically what it sounded like was whoever wins that job, the other one's going to be playing somewhere else, I guess.
Yeah.
Really, they're just going to use all the bodies possible out there is what it's looking like. So we'll probably see if it doesn't work out, you know, game one, game two, you'll probably see some shifting going along the offensive line throughout the season. Not too worried about that. I don't like inconsistencies personally, right. But I'm not too worried with the pace of the offense that we run. And other than that, he said Ramil Keaton, Walker Merrill, and Brew McCoy are having some nice practices this week as well. So that's the most I got off of the scrimmage that happened today and just the continuation of scrimmage or fall camp, I mean.
Interesting. Let's go back to the phones. Jamie is up next. What's up, Jamie?
Jake!
I got a bone to pick with you. I've had this show for 2 months now, and this is the first time you've called.
Man, I can't even get on the drive anymore, man. They've got me working some screwed up schedules, and let me just apologize, man, because I'm in your corner, but I'm a big supporter of yours, big fan of Jake. So,
well, as Phil says, this is the real radio at 6 o'clock, unlike the two elitists at 3 o'clock.
Hey, it takes a big man to apologize, Jake, and I am a big man. Jake, it doesn't matter if JG comes out and wins every game, completes every pass, wins the MVP, and wins every Super Bowl. That guy sucked when he was here.
It was awful, was it not, Jamie?
Yes. It doesn't change anything. He still sucked. It's not like were we unfair to the guy? Did he win two games?
No,
gave him every opportunity.
Jamie, this guy almost caused a breakup, a canceled wedding, and a divorce all in one night at one household. I was a part of that.
Jake, this guy, we can't, Alabama's been the best, biggest dynasty to ever walk through college football, and we were on the doorstep of tying it in the fourth quarter, and he said, no, you don't.
I'm a fumble.
No, you don't.
That was the play. That was what did it. That is what almost caused a breakup, a canceled marriage, and a divorce all in one night, on one play.
Yeah.
A lot of my fellow Tennessee fans, I just hear the pain in their voice, and I'm like, dude, you guys are looking at this all wrong. It doesn't matter what he does from here on out. It doesn't change what he did when he was here. He was a loser. He sucked. And we didn't, us as Tennessee fans, if anything, we're overly behind these guys. Look at the support we gave Gump, Butch, and Dooley. Look at the T-shirts and slogans and stuff we all bought up, for those clowns. So let's not ever forget that he's not going to change. Even if you get all these blue checks saying, oh, Tennessee fans again with the whole negativity. Look at his record. We can't change what's in black and white. That guy stunk it up here. He didn't win any football games. He didn't do anything of consequence at University of Tennessee. He was a loser.
He was.
So
100%.
It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, Jake and crew, if he does, no matter what he does, good or bad in the NFL, doesn't change how bad he sucked here. And, guys, I'm sorry. I'm a big fan. I can't wait to call in. I listen to you guys on the podcast. You guys are holding it down and slowly climbing the ranks over there, FanRut. Y'all hang in there.
Appreciate it, Jamie. Love a good call from Jamie, Utah.
Beautiful.
You know when Phil says, Utah called in yet? That's who he's talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. Jamie, Utah.
Love it. Well, but, thank you.
Well, no, Jamie's right. It doesn't change the fact that Jarrett Garantano was quite possibly the worst. Close to Matt Sims. Matt Sims was pretty bad. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I had season tickets through the Matt Sims years.
Yeah.
Those were awful.
Yeah.
And everyone was sitting there wondering that whole 2010 season, why don't we start Tyler Bray? Why don't we do it? You start him with 4 games left in the regular season, you went out.
Yeah. Yeah, those JD Kentucky picks were just really hard.
Well, that's what sealed the deal for him, were the Kentucky.
That's like the one thing I remember more than anything, were those two pick sixes just back to back. I've never seen a grown man make two worse decisions. I mean, like.
And then JT Schrout comes in and does the same thing.
<That's>, oh, woe is us. Woe is us. God, that's hilarious, though. He's not wrong, though. I honestly don't see this going too well for JG. Especially going up against probably what you'll see is like a bunch of second stringers for the defense.
Yeah.
You think he's going to come out here and light them up? Oh, I'd love to. I just doubt it. I'm not rooting against him, but I'm not rooting for him. I'm not going to be on his little sideline hoping he...
You're just optimistically watching.
I don't know, dude. Like, what if he does get NFL coaching for a month and just start killing fools?
Then my brand new house will be torn apart.
Yeah, I would be really angry, I think.
Everything in my house would be like those TVs that got damaged when I moved in.
Yeah. I mean, would you not be angry for at least like a whole day? Like at least, the very least?
I'll cancel tomorrow's show.
When do they play?
Oh, never mind. They cancel Friday, or they play Friday.
Okay. So Monday.
No,
show.
We're not canceling a show this close to football season.
No.
We will not be on the air tomorrow. Got some business to take care of.
Little boo-boos?
No. None yet, at least. None yet. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Welcome back. Overtime continues. Tommy, the caller Tommy, he says, Nathan Peterman was horrible here and did a good job at Pitt and was a starter in the NFL. Why can't JG do the same?
You know why, Tommy? Because we don't want him to, because all it would do is make us cry.
Like and, what?
Like, I'm not doing it again. It's exactly what Tommy would call in sounding like too. I feel like this is exactly how Tommy cries. I don't know why.
You probably just made him mad.
It's okay.
You compared Tommy to Bill Dotrieve.
No, just the sound. It's just a good hard cry.
Let's go back to the phones. TJ, you're up next, buddy. What's up?
Hey, I'd probably take that Peterman comment back, because wasn't he the quarterback for the Bills that threw like 15 interceptions in three games or something like that that ended his career?
But he started.
Well, I mean, yeah, but
He really did. He had a really good career at Pitt once he transferred.
He did. He was a draft pick too, wasn't he? Like,
yes.
Fourth, fifth round?
Yes.
Yeah. So he turned his career around. You know, y'all won't hear from me for the rest of the week. Kentucky's playing basketball this week, so y'all won't hear from me.
What are you going to do, call that clown Matt Jones?
Well, no, but I'm going to be watching basketball.
That's good.
It's understandable, I guess.
You know, it's crazy, and it's a good thing that you got rid of Pruitt, because I don't know if you guys know this stat, but one of my buddies, Kentucky buddies, brought this stat up to me the other day. Between Florida, let me get this right, Florida, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Missouri, in the last 10 years, you guys have more level one violations, 18, then wins over those four teams, 17.
Yeah. He averaged 1.125 violations to every win that he had.
Now, my next question is, and this isn't on Tennessee, this is Pruitt. I'm mm-hmm. trash-talking Pruitt.
Okay.
Has there ever been a coach who has been that bad at cheating that you can think of? Because Patino did it, they won a national title. Bill Self did it, he won a national title. The Patriots coach did it, they've won Super Bowls. Can you think of somebody who's been that bad at cheating?
TCU in the 70s and 80s, because they were because like we got hit for $60,000 worth of violations, but it was like a accumulated like a bunch of level one violations, the 18 level ones that equaled $60,000. TCU was giving out hundreds of thousands of dollars under the table and winning three games.
Yeah.
Jesus, I don't even remember that.
I hope not. You weren't born yet.
Well, no, I don't even know that. Like, I don't even, I never even thought of TCU even being a
cheater.
A cheating school.
I know, yeah, dude. Nope.
Oh, dude, all those Southwest Conference schools were doing it.
Religion's just not that head of front sometimes.
Well, TCU and SMU.
Yeah.
Both of them. Two of your biggest cheaters.
Just saying. It's kind of crazy. You never think of a religious institution.
That's wild. Hey,
the forefronts, you know, of cheating.
Speaking of this whole SEC, CBS, ESPN deal, whatever, mm-hmm. You know, it brings a question to me that if the Big Ten is going away from ESPN, for basketball-wise, is that going to open up an ACC versus SEC challenge and not the ACC Big Ten? Because I would love nothing more than Kentucky playing Duke, Tennessee, Carolina, you know, I would love that every single year with the ACC-SEC challenge with ESPN.
Well, and realistically, TJ, these are teams that we should play more. I mean, South Carolina's going to play Clemson, obviously. Florida's going to play Florida State. But, I mean, Tennessee needs to play North Carolina more than it does.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd like to 100%. See them play more, especially even in football, too. I mean, that'd be just that'd be a fun game to have on the schedule.
Well, I mean, I know North Carolina isn't as prestige as Tennessee in football, but in the 90s and early 2000s, I mean, look at the players North Carolina produced. I mean, Julius Peppers, mm-hmm. I mean, they were a top 10, top 15 school for 15 years easily in football.
Yeah, I mean, they were really consistent. Mack Brown, I think he had them ranked pretty high last year.
Yeah, the preseason poll, I'm pretty sure they were top 10, something like that. And then they lost like two of the first four and just dropped in and out of the top 25 the rest of the season. They just couldn't get it done.
I wouldn't mind seeing Kentucky play Indiana in football again, honestly.
That'd be kind of cool.
That'd actually be fun to watch.
Really just any border-touching state, dude, I'd just love to beat because
– as long as Adidas can get Indiana's uniforms right and spell Indiana the way it's supposed to be spelled, yeah. Not Indania.
That's insane that happened.
That's happened to Kentucky before. John yeah. Wall's first like photo yep. shoot that he did. Yeah.
They left the C out, didn't they, or the K?
They spelled it KentCucky.
Hey, look, I'll be honest, man. Sometimes when you pay millions of dollars to recruits, you ain't got enough money for uniforms. See ya.
Appreciate it, TJ. Let's keep it rolling. Go to Westchester. What's up, Westchester? Westchester.
Sorry. I'm over here. I'm trying to quit crying before I go on the radio.
Crying?
I don't know. Yeah. We got the rest of the week. I got to wait till Monday to hear TJ again.
No. We're just taking a break tomorrow. We'll be back on Thursday. Don't worry.
But he said TJ's not coming back. The rest of the week.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So you mean to tell me that you're going to be in your house sounding like Bill Dautry?
Because I can't hear from TJ. Yeah. That's rough. Speaking of crying, they haven't been to the Final Four since 2018.
Oh.
Or is it longer than that? No, I'm sorry. It's 2012. It's almost 10 years. It's almost 10 years since they've been to the Final Four. But, you know, they keep slamming on us and for our football program.
Well, and TJ has even said it, too. I mean, Calipari has underachieved at Kentucky. You know.
Right, and there's
that's coming
more
from a lot of Kentucky fans. That's not just TJ. That's a lot of Kentucky fans that I know very well. They are not happy with the success that he's had. It's like, you know, yeah, we've got one national title, but when you look at the talent that's come in, they should have at least three or four.
Well, here's the deal, is in my opinion with that, is that you look at Louisville, and they're down too, so that's not the excuse.
Yeah, they're still trying to recover from the whole fallout of 2012.
And let me make sure I heard this right, because I get really confused when a Kentucky fan starts talking and trying to give Tennessee a hard time for cheating. Did I really hear that right?
You heard it.
It was tough.
Oh, you heard
it. Tough through all the tears and the crying. But I want to make sure I heard that right. That Karma's a bitch. Yours is coming. Just wait. Just wait. At least we won and sucked, and we don't have anything to vacate. Oh, wait. They don't have anything really to vacate.
No.
Either, except some. Do we still get credit for beating them when they, for the last however many years, when they have to vacate? They have to vacate wins and losses, or just wins?
They just vacate wins. They keep the losses.
Oh, well, that shouldn't hurt them too badly, then, at least as far as the Tennessee thing goes.
TJ says that they haven't gone to the Final Four since they changed to the checkerboard uniforms.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're trying to beat us, and they can't beat us. So, you know, I get it. I understand. But,
I mean, the checkerboards, those are a thing. Like, you know, of course, the Service Academy Navy, they used that for a long time up until, I think, just a few years ago. They stopped using it.
But guys, Tennessee's most successful quarterback in the last 8 years.
The most successful?
Most successful college. Tennessee's most successful college quarterback in the last 8 years.
Josh Dobbs and Hendon Hooker has a chance to pass him up this year.
Okay. How did Josh Dobbs do in the NFL?
He is third or fourth string right now for the Steelers.
Right. And freaking JG's got a chance. How come our quarterbacks that are good here aren't good in the NFL? You know, the Shuler effect, I guess, is what we're going to call it, going back to before your days.
Peyton Manning he wasn't too shabby.
Oh, it took a while, though.
It took him a while to win the big one.
You forget about watching those first five or six years when he was on the Coats.
Oh, when
that
he first.
Painful.
Oh, it was terrible. And then, right. Of course, you know, what did he do before he won the Super Bowl? He broke Dan Marino's record. And then that same year, I'm pretty sure that was the year they lost to the Steelers in the divisional round, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Eli was showing up at Thanksgiving dinner with more rings than he had.
Yeah! Woo! Eli, bro, that's my boy. I love Eli.
Hey, I just read the cue cards and state the facts, man. That's the way it is. I'm not taking a side on that. I'm just saying that had to be really painful. He's like, ah.
It had to be, right? This is the funniest thing. He got his second, dude. Oh, that hurt. That had to hurt Peyton, right?
Yeah. I mean, Peyton played longer, and I don't know who won that championship thing in the long run between them. Who did end up with more?
Don't they both have two?
Yeah, they both have two.
That's it?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think Eli got a third, no?
No, he should have had a
Peyton
third.
Should have had probably four, but,
yeah.
You know.
So the next guy's got to get three, huh? That's the goal?
Yeah. Arch has to get three.
Yeah, coming out of Texas. And I was listening to 3 and Pout minus Nate, and it's amazing. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to finish that sentence.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm not gonna say it. Nate's the boss. He's the godfather. He pays the bills. He writes the checks. I'm not gonna take shots at him
for both my jobs. Yes,
too much. But yeah, they were talking about how down Texas is and how bad they are. And I'm just like, I don't think this guy's the shot in the arm to fix them. But we'll see what happens. I don't know. So why is Kentucky playing basketball this week? Is that like some preseason tournament thing?
I don't know. I know Auburn got beat by an Israeli team.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, our boys are floating down the river having a lot more fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd much rather be at the water park than getting beat by an Israeli basketball team.
Yeah, but honestly, I think Bruce Pearl Pete Rose that game a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe a little.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Probably.
You know.
You never know.
He wanted to give he'll end up recruiting a couple of those kids somehow. So we'll see. What, you know, our international, our claim to be the only international program in the SEC is about to be challenged by our boy who we love,
Tom.
I don't know. I really don't have any hard feelings against Bruce Pearl. He did a pretty good job when he was here. I'd love to have seen him with an athletic director that wanted to win.
That wanted to win and an athletic director that would have went to bat for him, because that is one thing. Mike Hamilton didn't even try to go to bat for Bruce Pearl.
No. And because Mike Hamilton was all about the dollars and fundraising, and he didn't think the basketball was ever – he didn't want basketball to be successful. He wanted to make just enough money to be on the cuff, but not enough to surpass football, because he was that old-school football's king mentality. And in a way, I like that. In a way, I appreciate that. In a way, I understand that. But You know,
look what he did to the football program.
It's like if you had major league this, if you had major league this Tennessee baseball team. You know, I mean, they had a heck of a run. They just said, "We're just going to win the whole, well, not the whole thing, but we're just going to win the regular season, and we're gonna do what we can do, and we're gonna bring fans in here, and we're gonna create a demand for this product." And it's amazing what they can do with a little support. And I don't even think that they got support. They didn't get in their way. They said, if you can do it, do it. Because, I mean, nobody in that athletics department really honestly into the day cares how baseball does.
At the end of the day?
If they win,
no.
If they win, it's a bonus. If they lose, they don't care. They're not losing sleep over it. They'll take the checks. Don't get me wrong. And they'll screw it up with their new season ticket pricing this year, just like basketball is doing. Basketball's trying to price their fans out. If you guys haven't done a segment on that yet, which I don't think you have since you took over, the pricing plan is all on the website for what it costs to sit downstairs for Tennessee basketball right now, and this upcoming season, and it is insane.
See, I've not looked at basketball yet. You know, I did the Vol Pass last year for football, and
right.
I don't even think that's an option for this year.
You need to go onto their website and look at what they want for basketball tickets. It is outrageous for a team that has had the postseason success that we've had. I mean, yeah, you're going to watch them win some games in the regular season, and of course we're going to beat Kentucky. That's a given.
Right.
But what you're paying for is absolutely – I mean, they're taking marginal success and trying to make too much money off it. I got a buddy of mine that's been sitting downstairs for like, I don't know, when did we graduate, 20 years? And he can't afford to do it anymore. He's going to have to go upstairs. They're running them. I mean, there used to be the elite section on the one sideline that had the padded chairs that had the view of the
– Right.
The one side was the elite, and now everything's that price. Everything downstairs on the side is outpriced. Even the sidelines and they're giving the students basically the whole room behind one of the goals. But
Westchester, I mean, do you think they're doing the NASCAR approach, like trying to cater more to the wine and cheese crowd?
Oh, absolutely. I think they are. And I think that's a mistake because that's not the rowdy crowd. Look what Tony Vitello did who do you want at a Tennessee basketball game? Do you want the Neyland Skybox crowd or you want the Tony Vitello baseball stadium?
You want
crowd?
The Tony Vitello crowd times four.
Anytime. I want a rowdy crowd over any crowd.
And when you're selling them that high, when you're making the donations that high that they are right now, you can't even resell them downstairs to that crowd.
No.
So, yeah, seriously, I know it's football season. I don't expect y'all to spend a lot of time on it, but even just for your own knowledge, both of y'all look that up at some point tomorrow or today or whenever. But yeah, it'll blow your mind. It's stupid. It's an absolute disaster.
Appreciate that, because I might actually be affected by that. Didn't even think about that.
All right, guys, love y'all. Have a good show.
Appreciate it, Westchester. Oh, I will. Interesting. Might look into that.
That's pretty interesting. I haven't looked at any ticket prices. I did look at some football tickets the other day. Because I was just... What were we looking at? I was looking at the Kentucky tickets.
Yeah.
And looking at the price for those. Because I'd like to... I think that might be the one game I really want to go to.
Yeah.
That sounds like the most on the line, I guess, game that we have. Besides the early ones. That I know I'm just not going to be able to go to. Because I know I got other things I have to do planned on those weekends.
Right. I mean... Florida, I can't go to. I've got a wedding that day. And Alabama, I mean, I'm not willing to pay that much to watch to get beat.
No, yeah. See, that's another thing is I'd rather not pay a bunch of money to get beat because you know that ticket's going to be pricey anyway.
It always is. Thing. Regardless of whether Tennessee is good or bad, that ticket is always ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, it still fills up the stadium. So
that it does. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this. Back here on Overtime. Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Josh Stackhouse. About another hour and 20 minutes with you guys. ESPN has pulled out of the Big Ten media rights negotiations, ending one of the longest sports media relationships in the business. ESPN said no to the conference's final offer of a 7-year, $380 million per year package, sources are telling ESPN.
How much did they turn down? You said how much?
7 years, $380 million per year. That's billions of dollars guaranteed. And they have completely turned it down, said, no, we're not doing it.
That's crazy. I hate it, but I don't think the Big Ten really cares. I think it's
with
Fox, and then I guess CBS is now in contention with for the 3:30 slot is what I was reading.
That sounds about right.
That's what I'm pretty sure that's what I was reading on Twitter was that that CBS is now the front runner for the Big Ten deal, and what was the other one?
Fox, no.
No, Fox is the main one, but it's like that's just for the bid for the 3:30 slot. Like,
ABC?
No.
There's no ABC's ESPN.
I can't. Maybe NBC, but.
It is NBC because they are trying to get Notre Dame.
I'm pretty sure. I'm just like blanking on names because like always, right? But, I mean, that's huge. Since the 60s, you said?
Don't know how long it's been, but
God,
it's one of the biggest
crazy,
TV deals
man.
Ever.
I love ESPN games, but, I mean, you assume that ESPN will now, I guess, push for, an SEC? They already have the SEC deal, so they'll probably, I guess, grab, I guess like TJ was saying, ACC, they have them.
Yeah.
Or will they go get them, and then I guess the Big 12 is the only other market they could crack into.
Right, and, you know, I sit here and I wonder, too, because, number one, it's going to be glad to not hear that 3:30 CBS music ever again. Because every time you hear it, you know we're bound to get our ass beat.
Wait, is this not like great news for Tennessee fans, though?
Yeah, because we're probably going to get a Heisman candidate now that ESPN has to support the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, what is their deal? They made the deal in ESPN's exclusive 10-year deal with the SEC.
Why do you think Charles Woodson won the Heisman?
Is this like a $300 million range deal? That's crazy.
Which ESPN's going to win out.
But
with ESPN, they have got to upgrade their commentary. They have got to upgrade that. Because when you have a game like Tennessee versus Georgia State and Ryan Leaf is on the call, the production quality, one, is terrible. And two, Ryan Leaf is an idiot.
Dude, the Big Ten is about to make so much money in TV money, though. Like, Fox's billion-dollar deal, and then CBS is expected to pay $350 million per year for their new deal, and then NBC is also expected to pay around $350 million per year. That's insane.
What's NBC going to put it on? NBCSN?
Probably, right?
USA or, Network?
Peacock. They'd probably stream Peacock.
Oh, boy.
You know?
What did I tell you?
That's NBC, right? Well, they have to have some sort of streaming option as well, and that'd be probably for games like Maryland and Minnesota games and stuff like that you'd see on the Peacock service, or one big game out of the year. Like a Michigan State-Michigan game would probably be streamed on a Peacock, right? Like, people care, but do they?
It's going to alienate some people that are not used to that service yet.
They've already done it, though. Like, the NFL's been doing it.
The NFL's been doing it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's going to make a lot of people mad more. I think...
Well, and I brought this up a couple months ago when I said that we might be heading for an all-streaming, you know, sports service. Not just one in particular, but, I mean, of course, we got ESPN Plus now that you have to pay $6.99 a month for. And the only reason I did it was so I could watch, I think it was Tennessee versus Washington in basketball. And I've just had it ever since because I never deleted the subscription. Speaking of, an ESPN notification just popped up.
I think I heard that question on the drive earlier today, too. Is like, because of streaming services, do you think these like TV deals won't be as significant as they are? But I don't think because of how much money is going into it now.
Well, yeah, they stole the content from me.
I just think Fox and ABC and all these, they already have their hand in some of these streaming services money anyway. Like, honestly, I think Amazon's the only one that might be the most purely individualized service because of how much money they generate themselves through Amazon Prime and such in general like that. But
Apple
like,
TV Plus will be the next one.
I guess, but like AMC, like you think they wouldn't be able to buy out some of these streaming services and then you think you're paying. Because like Hulu Live is what I use for football.
Right.
That's what I watch all my games on for live TV purposes, right? Because I want to watch the games live on TV. You get like a half second delay, but who really cares as long as you know. So, but like you're always going to need, I think, live TV. Like you're always going to need Fox to be there recording the game. You're always going to need... So I think the TVDs, I guess, will still forever matter. Because like streaming services aren't going to
be... But now production quality is better on the streaming service than what it is on live TV. Like we're starting to see, because you know ESPN... You can tell over the past 10 years they've dropped their quality so much as far as writers, broadcasters, even College Game Day is not what it used to be.
Well, that's because they're Lee's old, man. They're just milking that, man. Poor Lee. He's just old. That show used to be so much more fun when he was kind of younger, and then like they used to... It's still a good show. I don't know why people hate it so much, but all the gimmicks and stuff they do behind the desk are kind of annoying.
That's why people hate it.
Yeah, but I also don't like Fox's game day thing. I don't think that much. Like, I don't watch that too much.
The big noon kickoff that's not even at noon. Yeah,
like, I guess I didn't watch it because I didn't really like looking at Urban Meyer's face that much. Like, thank you for the national championship, but him on TV was just a weird head.
Yeah, they're probably going to bring him back.
I don't think so. Do you think they could get away with doing that? I don't think they'd be allowed.
It depends on who you are and how good you are for the game
I
of football.
I guess like he could do like a image rehab, but right now, no way. No way he's on TV for them. If he's by week 5, I'll give you $15. There's no
$15. That'll buy me 3 gallons of gas.
I don't care. It's more money than you had before. Dude. Not like a $100 betting man, dude. Not for like dumb things like that.
Would you bet me lunch at Naff Naff Grill?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll buy you a lunch. It's like $15. I don't know what the difference here is, but...
Stop by the one over in Bearden today.
Yeah?
So, I usually go with a pita, right? A build your own pita, but...
love pita.
But I did the build your own bowl today.
Ooh.
And you get pitas with it. That's
See?
The way to go.
Bro, that's my favorite. You get like the plate kind of entree, and then you get the two extra pita. Oh, and make your own little. Oh, yeah.
On the Naff fries.
Big
man.
Pita on the side guy.
Absolutely.
That sounds like a good deal.
Love the one in Bearden.
Love me some Naff Naff.
Similar colors, too. Orange and white.
Yeah?
Orange and white.
Yeah, you're right.
But no. I really do think that ESPN's quality over the past 10 years has dropped tremendously.
But I also think that a lot of broadcasting has gone down.
Well, I mean, and the prime example of the production quality, you watch some of the Tennessee baseball games, and the quality of the video, like you can't even see the ball. It's so pixelated. You feel like you're watching a tube TV back in the 90s again, playing the PlayStation 1.
Yeah. I don't...
And the SEC Network.
I think they're trying to figure out the animation, you know, like how, because they're tinkering with it often. Okay. So they're trying to grab like the younger audience's eyes.
They're
while
trying
also
to
also still appealing with the older is just like give me the numbers kind of thing, I guess. But also, I haven't hated any of it. I think sometimes a lot of the announcers they use get too goofy, and I don't need all that, dude. I don't need you to make me laugh. I just need you to talk about the game.
Well, not to mention the Ole Miss game.
I'm funny myself.
The Tennessee Ole Miss game. From this past year, reviewing the fumble, or not the fumble, the ball placement for Jacob Warren. When he caught the ball on fourth down, it looked like he had the first down. There were only two camera angles, the TV angle and a really bad sideline angle.
Yeah.
That is poor.
I don't know how much money goes into that, but boy, I know you got enough money to put 7 cameras on that field.
For the SEC Network, an ESPN company.
I'm with you on that. There needs to be way, unless they have more that we're not allowed to see, which I do not understand, if that's a true statement.
I don't think that's true at all.
Right? Like, they have more camera angles for the refs. Do they? Then where are they? Show them. Why don't we get
I really do think they show every angle because they even said those were the two camera angles they had to go off of.
That's crazy that you'd only have like two angles at any time. Like, should there not just be one on the sideline that follows the ball, one in that already swings 100 to 100 yards?
Basically,
you know what I mean?
Like what they did in the XFL. They had a camera above head. that went from end zone to end zone.
There's already one. That they have the two cross sections, most stadiums, right?
Right.
They go end zone to end zone and side to side, and one goes left to right, and one goes down and up.
Right.
Or, like, I don't know, it moves, I guess.
You know, if you're on CBS or you're on the flagship ESPN or ESPN2,
you get those. Yeah. I did hate the drone camera in the XFL and the USFL. I thought that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It was like this dude just driving a drone throughout the football game.
Well, no, like, you know, like where the crosshairs of the cameras meet?
Yeah.
That was invented by the original XFL when Vince McMahon stood at the 50-yard line and shouted, "This is the XFL!"
Yeah.
Poor Vince.
Not really.
No, not really.
I don't think he
is not poor.
Yeah. I don't think he's like poor Vince McMahon. Poor people.
Vince McMahon. Jim Ross, when he did an interview, we're probably going to be seeing a lot of him, by the way. Jim Ross goes to all of the Oklahoma games. He said that he has sat down and seen Vince McMahon eat a sandwich with a fork and a knife because he didn't want to get his hands dirty.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's some pretentious stuff.
That's what I was about to say. That is about as pretentious as you can get.
Ooh, don't get my little thinkies dirty.
Get me a fork! Get me a knife! I'm going to eat my sandwich!
Hey, some people have higher class than us, and you think he cuts up his pizza? Ugh.
Ugh.
Ugh, the worst person in any pizza establishment, the fork and knife lady.
Ugh.
Just want to go, hey, it's a handheld food.
It's a handheld food. Stay with us. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two of Overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.